Welcome to Jawa Jabber, a Star Wars podcast dedicated to spreading our own little slice of positivity throughout the galaxy. From the prequels to the sequels to every Disney Plus spinoff they want to throw at us, we're here to celebrate any time we get to spend in our favorite galaxy together, and we want you to come along for the ride. I'm David Wren, joined by my bro hosts Dennis, Kyle, and Matt. We invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy our fully armed and operational podcast.
And this is Jawa Jabber.
Hello there, Star Wars fans, and welcome to another new episode of Jawa Jabber. I am your supreme leader, David Wren, and I am joined by my best friends and bro hosts, Kai Nobi.
Hello there.
Matt, the radar technician.
Hey, I'm Matt, the radar technician. I'm ready to have a really brooding conversation with you guys, but I swear I'm not Kylo Ren. I just saw his lightsaber once. It was really cool.
Yeah, right? Oh my god. I remember the first time I saw that saber, I was like, yeah! Hence, David Wren. And, of course, Dennis the Phantom Menace.
Excuse me! You are no Sith!
I know we've done this before, but how about, like, a general rating for the episode, and then after we talk about the episode, maybe we'll do the season by far, like a scale of 1 to 10. Matt, how about you? What would you say this episode?
I think I would rate the episode as an 8 or 9 out of 10. And the season overall, yep, probably an 8 out of 10, I'll say.
Okay. All right, cool. Kyle, how about you?
I would rate this episode an 8 out of 10 and this season a 7.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty much on board with you guys. I was going to say about an 8 for the episode, and the season would probably be about a 7 or an 8. Dennis, how about you, bud? Okay, fair enough. Kyle, how about you give us those behind-the-scenes information before we forget?
Yeah, so obviously created and written by Jon Favreau, directed by Rick Famuyiwa, just like episode 7, and the premiere of this season, and then the director of photography is David Klein.
He's done most of them, hasn't he?
Him, Dean Cundey, and then Paul Heuwen have directed, or been the directors of photography for all 8 episodes. Okay. So they've had, yeah, like 3.
I was going to say, I recognize that name a lot from you saying his name when we recap these. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that provides some really good consistency, you know, like with how the show looks and all that stuff. But yeah, no, so, all right, so we're all pretty much on the same page as far as ratings go. I mean, it was definitely action-packed. You know, I felt a little bit underwhelmed, and it's not that the action wasn't good or that it didn't look good or anything like that. I just, like, you know, the season 2 finale had Luke Skywalker show up. And, you know, it was that big wow moment. And it was like, oh my gosh, you know, like, even though they were kind of teasing it, and, you know, when that X-Wing showed up, and then Luke showed up and the green saber and everything. And this episode just didn't have that. And I mean, you don't need those big, huge, explosive moments for a season finale to work. But I mean, they definitely help. What do you guys think? I mean,
well, I think, like, one of the things there that you just touched on was that there wasn't a season finale where we had a character that we were looking to see, like a cameo, right? Like, that didn't happen in this case. And I don't think it needed to. I think I like that the story actually just stayed with what was happening with the characters we already had in this season. And there wasn't, like, Thrawn showing up or Sabine showing up or something. Like, I definitely, if that happened, it would have been awesome. But I like that they kind of strayed from that instead of having somebody at the end come in and kind of save the day. Like, Luke was awesome, but I'm glad they didn't kind of do the same thing for season 3. And I'll just touch on the reason why I gave it a 7.5 was I just kind of felt like it was rushed. It kind of gave me feelings for, like, Rise of Skywalker, where they were trying to finish up the end of this season really quickly, and they had a lot to go through, but they didn't have as much time as they gave to some other episodes in the season. And I feel like if they even gave it another 5, maybe 10 minutes, and spread some things out, it would have felt a little more of a smoother flow. But it was like, you know, cut from this scene, especially towards the end, you know, like we got the Great Forge, and then we got, you know, Grogu and Mando and Greef Karga. And then we got Grogu at the end with Mando in their little hut that he, you know, kind of got from Greef. So it's like, I feel like there was a lot going on really quickly to wrap it up. But that's just a personal preference of mine. I'm sure other people may not have felt the same way.
Well, no end credit scenes, because that's Marvel's deal. You know, as cool as that Boba Fett scene was during the end credits.
That's another one, right? We didn't see something like that. We're like, hey,
yeah, but Book of Boba like Fett,
you know?
Right. But like, to me, that's a Marvel thing, you know, like it, and not that I didn't enjoy it in season two when they showed. And then, of course, the Cobb Vanth scene at the end of Book of Boba Fett. But like, to me, like that's a Marvel thing. Like, just leave that Marvel, like let Star Wars do its thing. And, you know, like it just felt like
that season. I hate that I'm like watching Cocaine Bear and I have to look up, does Cocaine Bear have an end credit scene? Like, I have to do that because all these random ass movies are doing it now.
Well, so you know what? You're right. Right. You're right. I watched the, I watched in the theater a horror movie called The Pope's Exorcist, and it was with Russell Crowe. And we're sitting there going, should we wait? Is there an end credit scene? Is there something that we're waiting? And it's almost every movie, just like you said, Kyle. Like, now it's like, we don't know. We got to look it up.
Like, Scream 6 had like 7 end credit scenes. I was like, I'm not.
No, did it really? I meant to watch that today because it's out on Paramount Plus, but I forgot until just now. So maybe I'll watch it tomorrow. But that's good to know that there's some end credit scenes there. But yeah, like, what? Like, it's Marvel. And so it's funny that, you know, everyone's been trained to think like that, yet there's still all those people that go to Marvel movies and they still walk out before the end credit scene. It's like, really? Like, are you that anxious to get to your car or to go pee? Like, I don't know. Matt, what are your thoughts on the end credit debacle?
Well, I just saw Mario, which had 2 end credit scenes. And that was kind of fun.
Did it really? Oh, no yeah, way.
When we walked into the movie theater, the guy at the counter told Lincoln, he's like, just make sure you stay around for the 2 end credit scenes. So we stayed, you know, of course, and halfway through, Bowser came on and did a little rendition of his Peaches song, which Lincoln, of course, thought was hilarious. And then I reminded him there's one more end credit scene, and he's sitting there, and we sit there, and we sit there, and the credits were insanely long, which, you know, I get they need to credit every person, but it's a kid's movie. Like, Mario was definitely more catered to kids, but the credits were like so long. And then we get to the end of them and we sit there, and the last end credit scene was so short and brief. Lincoln saw it and he was like, is that really, like, he looked at me, he's like, is that really what I sat through that whole thing for? Nice. I'm like, yeah, I guess so, you know, which, you know, normally he would get pretty geeked about it. So I thought that was pretty hilarious. Well, right. But
yeah, if you're going to sit through all those credits, it better be worth it.
Yeah, and it really, I mean, questionable. But in terms of Star Wars, like, I don't know. I mean, I've got mixed feelings. And I thought the Book of Boba Fett one was kind of, I mean, I felt like we could have gone without it because
right,
it was, I mean, it essentially just announced that show, right? So they could have just announced that show in some other way. Probably would have been fine without it. The Cobb Vanth one, I don't know. I mean, that's not really like a groundbreaking
no
end credit scene, and we have yet to see where that, you know, is gonna make a difference. I'm sure we'll see it down the road someday, but
well, I feel like both of those scenes, the Cobb Vanth and then, you know, Boba taking out Bib Fortuna.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that part of the end credit scene. You know, like I just don't think it's really necessary. Like at the end of the season, I didn't even look up to see if there's an end credit scene to look out for, and I didn't really pay attention for one. I mean, I waited till
the end, I didn't.
I wasn't.
I didn't either because like, I got up and got ready for work. And yeah, like I didn't even wait. I just kind of was like, all right, that's the end. And I, you know, I went about my day.
Yeah. But I was not having my hopes like hinge on whether there was a post credit scene to like make or break how I felt about anything.
What were some other highlights for you guys of this episode, the season finale? Dennis, why don't we start with you?
Well, I mean, obviously, the fight between Bo, Katan, and Moff Gideon was pretty sweet. I like that. I think it was pretty pretty action-packed. Like you said, the whole show in that season finale was just action, like one thing after another. When we jumped in at the beginning, there was no time to waste. It was just immediately, we're back to where we were from the previous episode. And I enjoyed... I didn't expect the Darksaber to be crushed, that's for sure. Don't know what's going to happen with that. I've seen a lot of weird theories out there of repurposing it.
We said highlights, not bad parts of the finale. We're talking about the highlights right now.
That was a highlight.
It was not. It pissed me off so bad, dude. Like, I was so mad.
So it was like, a bad highlight for you.
Okay, bad and highlight. No, it was just bad. Like, no, it was terrible writing. It was, No, I'm kidding. But no, it definitely was not one of my highlights. It's in my notes under the negative list. But I mean, yeah. I mean, it looked good. Like, it looked great. But I was just so sad. I was like, no.
I kind of felt like the fight also between Mando and Moff Gideon, like he was just kind of getting thrown around, and like it feels like that kind of has been happening a lot in this entire season. Was kind of like Mando's getting his butt kicked constantly. He's getting saved by Bo. He's getting saved by Grogu. And it feels like, I don't know. I think that the character development there was really showing through. Like, he's not a Superman. He's not perfect in every way. He does need help from his friends, and he needs help from, you know, the people who are around him. And I think that really, that was a highlight too, just kind of showing that, you know, they're all working together towards the common goal of defeating this enemy. And it's not just like he can do whatever and he can save the planet and he can save everybody. Like, I understand people who wanted him to have the Darksaber and rule Mandalore, but I didn't think that's where it was going. And I think Kyle would agree with me. Like, Bo was going to have the Darksaber, whether or not, you know, Din was a part of ruling Mandalore, or if that even gets to that point in the next season. But I really just like that aspect where we're showing the flaws, and he's a normal person. But I really, you know, like that they also just made sure and they solidified the fact that what we all knew, that Grogu is his son, right? But now it's confirmed that he's taken that upon himself to be his dad. You know, even though everybody said that already from the beginning, we knew that was happening, but now it's like confirmed amongst the rest of the Mandalorians.
What exactly is a Mandalorian apprentice as opposed to a foundling? Like, is what I want to know.
It's just the next step.
So all of those people were...
So it's all, like a Padawan to an apprentice.
Yeah, all right. I don't know. I mean, I didn't hate it. I was like, oh, interesting. Okay, now he's an apprentice, you know, as opposed to I thought it went foundling to Mandalorian. And, you know, like Kyle said, we got to wait till season 5 or probably the movie now for his helmet. We're not going to get Grogu's helmet for a while.
Speaking of Kyle, we keep talking about Kyle. What do you think, Kyle? What was one of your highlights?
So for the end credits, I just want to say really quickly, I'm glad we didn't have any, because the only direction they could have gone is to set up Ahsoka, because that's the next story arc in this Mandoverse. And if they did anything like showing Thrawn, it just would have undercut the Ahsoka show. So I'm kind of glad that show gets this time to shine, which is due and well deserved. Definitely the moment in the hallway, I love this scene when Grogu helps Din break free, and Din tells him, I'm gonna need you to be brave for me, buddy. And Grogu just nods his head, like that just little moment between the two of them, mm-hmm. where he recognizes, like, we can't let Gideon get away, that he cannot stand trial, like he needs to die. And Grogu accepting the challenge, that was just a beautiful moment.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I loved that Grogu was in on the action, you know, and like even after IG-12 got like ruined, you know, he hopped up on the damn thing and he's like running around, and like it was great. I loved it. Kyle, you got anything else to add highlight wise?
No, really just that hallway scene. Like Dennis said, the fight between Moff and Bo was great and felt climactic enough. I kind of hate that we didn't get to touch on on how that went the first time they met, because I'm a big believer in show, don't tell me. And this season has felt very exposition heavy in some regards, but I guess I'll save that for our discussion of the overall season. But it was still a great moment nonetheless, and gave Giancarlo some time to shine and like Katie show off her action skills.
Oh yeah, definitely. It was, yeah. I see what you're saying with the exposition being heavy, and like we said, we'll touch on that. I know for me personally, one of the highlights was Axe, our new BFF, Axe Wolves, getting to crash the ship in like Revenge of the Sith style. I totally thought that kind of mirrored Revenge of the Sith to me. But you know, and I like that he got out and he was safe. Did you guys see that article that like he was apparently supposed to die in season two?
I did.
And like they filmed it and then like they just cut it out. So then they were like, hey, come back and be in it again. Like, that's awesome. Like, I think that's great.
I'm glad because he's a really cool dude, right?
He's awesome. We talked to him for quite a while, didn't we? Like a solid couple minutes. Like, and you know, not just that, but like his character's really cool. And I remember thinking in the Mando season two finale, I'm like, where did the other guy go? Like, where did he go? So it's nice that they brought him back in, and you know, he got like his little hero moment there. Matt, what about you, bud? Like.
So I get to go last. I get to go last. I'm actually kind of surprised you guys didn't take what I wanted to throw out there. But I have to piggyback off of the segments you guys threw out there, because I think some of those scenes are really powerful and impactful. But for me, I think the first one that really, after the ones you guys talked about, one of the ones that really hit me was when the cruiser came down and crashed and Grogu was holding back the fire around Bo-Katan and Din, and they all kind of like Din and her kind of look at Grogu and Bo-Katan, like you can see it, like, and I think she was helmetless in that part, and you could just see the look on her face. Yes. Like she knows, like she sees, well, when Jimmy Kimmel's nephew gets, you know, bathed in the waters of Mandalore, and you know, we get through that part, and then Din you know, asks that Grogu become his apprentice and all that. That whole scene just honestly, you know, it moved me to almost shed a tear. Like that scene moved me, and to me that was a beautiful part of a finale, like of the season.
Well, you're a father, Matt. I wonder why it moved you.
It was though. Yeah. It was a very powerful moment. I agree. And did you guys storyline wise, did you guys happen to notice something about that scene kind of bookending the first episode of the season? Because we started the season with Little Kimmel's initiation, and it got, you know, ruined it got ruined by the dinosaur monster and
by the Croco Turtle. Yeah.
Croco Turtle. Yes. Thank you, Dennis. I forgot what we named him. But then this time, you know, not only are they on Mandalore in the living waters, but the armorer does not say about the keeping the helmet on.
That's interesting. I know it was the Creed still, but.
Right, but they specifically left out the part about leaving the helmet on.
Maybe because it's given him the choice, just like she's given the other Mandalorians.
Well, and about them all coming together and how they're stronger together and all that stuff. I just thought that was very interesting. I was like, huh. I'm like, okay, that's really cool. Because I actually started to rewatch the season yesterday, and that's when I really noticed it. I said, oh, they didn't say this in the finale. That's really cool.
That's a pretty good and important catch too.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it spoke to the storyline. Like I was talking in our one episode about the armorer and, you know, like her story beats and her character development, like, you know, where, you know, she's been clinging to this way for so long. And if she wants to be with the other Mandalorians, maybe they'll have to be some kind of give and take or whatever. So, yeah, I was impressed by that little footnote. And I thought that was really interesting for the story going forward.
There was a lot of speculation and fan theories out there. One of them that I definitely bought into a bit, so I have to apologize, because apparently, at least so far, I don't know, I'm still holding out maybe a little bit of like what happens in season four, but like I swear I thought the armor was doing something shifty.
Well, so we all did. We all thought that. Kyle, I know me and you definitely said that in our last episode. Like the,
but
like
I also that, said that I kind also of seemed up the 12 that spies, way. Though
you did. Oh my gosh, yes. When I kept seeing fan reactions like, "Who's the other spy? Who's the other spy?" I kept thinking, "Listen to our episode, and Kyle will tell you."
Yeah,
no, Kyle, that was a wonderful observation that a lot of people didn't get. Like a lot of people, including myself. But like, I thought that was really interesting, because once you said that, it completely made sense. And then this episode airs and everyone's like, but who was the other spy? Who was the other spy?
The previous episode that you guys did, when Kyle mentioned that, it definitely was nice that, you know, John and Dave, if he actually participated in this part, I'm not sure if he was active in this episode, the finale, but blending together both fictional, almost fictional religious sects like the Mandalorians versus like real life religious stuff with regards to like the Jewish people and the Israelites and Canaan, that land that they were going to send the 12 spies into before they actually went, that kind of melding of that kind of, I feel like it made it more real for a lot of people, because it's blending fiction with nonfiction, but in a way that people maybe who, you know, have Jewish heritage could even recognize. I'm sure like many of them probably recognize that immediately because of how much they knew with regards to, you know, like how they go to synagogue or everything that they read, you know, religious texts every single week or every single weekend. So that was definitely something that I didn't catch immediately. But when I listened to Kyle talk about it and, you know, saw some other people who mentioned it, definitely one of those really cool situations where we weren't wondering who the other spies were because we knew.
So here's a question I want to ask you guys. How do you think the clones were going to work? Like the Moff Gideon clones? Like, was he going to inject Grogu's blood and somehow the Metachlorians was going to make him like force sensitive? Like, that's kind of what I was thinking when he kind of.
I have some comments on that. But I'm gonna let Kyle and Matt.
I'll
go last.
I want to know your guys' thoughts on like that process. Like that seemed to be his grand scheme from the end of season one. Like ironic because he was just telling the Shadow Council that, you know, cloning is your expertise, not mine, or something like that. Even though we know Pershing was involved with the clones or whatever. Yeah, I just really want to hear your guys' thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of expanded universe stuff done with cloning of Force-sensitive subjects, one of them being big in the Heir to the Empire with the Jedi Master that was in there, and then also later on, I think, with the Luke Skywalker clone. But those kind of all dealt with like cloning a Force-sensitive person. So in this case, you're cloning Moff Gideon, who's not force sensitive, and trying to inject him with the DNA or blood or whatever with somebody who is force sensitive. And honestly, all I can say with that thought is, I mean, they're writing a new story. So literally, in my opinion, like they can do what they want. Like they can literally write what they want. Somehow it's going to tie into Snoke, Emperor Palpatine, Operation Cinder, the whole First Order, the sequel trilogy, the Unknown Regions, and all of that. Like, somehow it's all going to tie into that. How they do it is how they want to write it. I mean, I think it's pretty open, you know?
So wait, you guys, meaning Matt and David, you guys really know probably a lot more than I do, for sure, about the expanded universe stuff. But, like, this was before George came up with midichlorians, right? So, like, what was their basis for transferring anything Force-related by blood or by cloning?
I mean, and I think in the expanded universe, the Jedi Master, and I don't even know how to pronounce his name, Sioris Boeth, or... That's butchering his name, like, bad. Or it's like, whatever his name is. Anyway, I don't know if they really ever get into the specifics of the cloning of it. They basically just say he's a clone Jedi Master, and the clone kept the Force abilities. And the same with the Luke Skywalker with two U's in Luke.
I was gonna say with Luke, they used his hand.
Yeah. So,
like, they used, like, actually Luke's DNA to clone, because I remember that part, that, like, it was, like, they made the clone of him out of the severed hand. Hmm. So,
perhaps,
you know, that means Maz Kanata's in on the cloning, too. So
perhaps all you need is DNA or blood, and you inject... You know, or you, all you need is DNA or blood of a Force user has a lot of, like, a high midichlorian count and strong in the Force, like Grogu, or Luke's hand. You take that blood and inject it into a clone of somebody that's a non-Force user, you know, has a very weak midichlorian count, and maybe you can create somebody who's strong in the Force, you know. I don't know. I mean,
that was one of my issues. That's one of my issues here, and that's probably why the 0.5 I gave for the 7.5 is that, like, I get it. It's suspension of belief, and I think that's probably running through Kyle's mind right now, because it's like, this is Star Wars, you know, so anything can really happen. We don't have to make it scientific because it's not science fiction. But it's one of these things where, like, it kind of bothered me where it felt like Moff Gideon was trying to level up, like he was in some kind of RPG or a game or something. Like, yeah, I'm going to get now a clone of myself, and I'm going to inject it with some Force, and then he's going to be more powerful with these super soldiers that are dark troopers, right? And it's like, I don't know, I felt that was kind of just a little cheesy, but I mean, things can be cheesy in Star Wars and still enjoyable, you know, like, we have that all the time.
See, I didn't take it as cheesy, I just thought it was interesting, because that's not where I thought they were going to go. Like, I thought he was working on the whole Palpatine project, or,
see, I know, thought Finn was going to pop around the corner and say, that's not, or that's not how the Force works, or, like, you know, honestly, like, I don't know. That was just my opinion on it. I didn't find the episode less enjoyable because of it, but I was kind of like, how does that work? And that's why I asked you guys, like, about Expanded Universe and whether they probably drew influences from that with regards to cloning.
Well, I mean, we all know Dave and John are big into the Expanded Universe. So, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm sure it definitely had a influence on it. But yeah, I do find it interesting that a lot of the cloning in the Expanded Universe was Force-sensitive people. I think this is a newer territory with, like, non-Force-sensitive people trying to make them Force-sensitive, you know?
What about you, Kyle? What's your thoughts on this whole cloning, Force-sensitive stuff?
I don't know. I guess I'll just start off by saying that Gideon's character motivation was a little lacking. Especially since his project is different than Project Necromancer that Brendel Hux brought up. So I don't know. I don't really know how to feel about it. I thought it was interesting that Gideon knew about Grogu and how strong he was with the Force, but they never touched on that. So it just seemed a little frustrating to me with the ending of this season. If this is really the end for Gideon, that we have a lot of questions that are left unanswered, and I really don't feel like reading a comic book to find out the answers, to be honest with you. But my hope for the Mando universe in general is that after the movie, if Thrawn is killed off, we kind of go into the Snoke territory and see how that cloning project turned out and if any of this ties into the Bad Batch or not.
Hmm.
So I think the positive thing about the Mandalorian comics, Kyle, is that they are following the show, like, to the T. Each comic is pretty much the episode. So unless they veer from that, I'm hoping they tell most of the story in the show.
No, but, I meant in general with comic books, like how all this stuff is going on right now with Kira and everything like that, and they're just like killing the chance for her character to ever come back.
Yeah, with like the extra storyline. So the, I know what you're talking about, Kyle, like the supplemental material that they're not going to show on a TV show or a movie.
In reality, though, with Kira, that also could be maybe Emilia Clarke is never going to come back to the role. So they might not have much of another choice, but
there's a reason why Rey doesn't have a whole lot of comic book material. Like they knew she was coming back from the start.
Even Kylo Ren too. I mean, there was a little bit of Kylo Ren with Snoke, but there really isn't a ton of Kylo Ren comics either.
No,
or any sequel trilogy. There's not a lot of expanded universe other than what was directly around the films. They have pretty much shied away from the sequel trilogy. They have shied away from sequel trilogy comics and books other than what was.
They sure have.
Yeah,
they sure have. They had a comic that was coming out that was the Rise of Skywalker comic, which had an amazing cover, and it was supposed to expand on the things that the movie did not. And I don't know what happened to that. It's like they just axed it and it's over.
COVID.
They could still print things during COVID. COVID's over pretty much. So like it's kind of like, I don't know. I kind of felt annoyed by that
That's what happened though. The same way we couldn't get our Rise of Skywalker Blu-rays from the Disney store.
They could pick it up now, right?
It up now, right? But no, I remember that one got canceled. Remember the freaking art book got pushed back because of COVID.
Well, that was a whole separate thing. We could have a whole episode on that where they removed a lot of concept art. So
I got to ask a question real quick.
Yeah.
It kind of goes along with what Kyle said about like the Moff Gideon and the cloning stuff. And I just want your guys' opinions on it. But do we think Moff Gideon's character is done based on, we just went to Celebration. I've been to a lot of cons in the last 2.5 years that Giancarlo Esposito was at. And he is like fully going con heavy, embracing the fandom and living out this character to a degree. Do we feel like Moff Gideon is dead and done? And maybe Giancarlo is like banking his money like while his character is hot because his character might be done after the season? Or do we think, because his actions kind of, and I get he has to play a poker face with it to a degree because he can't, he couldn't tell us that he might be dead at the end of the season, but is he still so hyped on his character because he knows his character is still going, or is he hitting the con scene heavy because he knows his character might be done? And what do you guys think?
I don't think he's done. And it'll probably be something with cloning or something like, so I don't think that actor's done. There's either going to be a clone of him or like Kyle and I talked a little bit about this in our little separate text message exchange a little bit yesterday, like, or it's going to be like, that was the clone of him that just died, but hey, maybe he didn't die. Like he's got that Beskar alloy suit. Maybe he's chilling in the lower depths with the mythosaur. Who knows?
He had his helmet off, right? So maybe he did have the helmet off. So maybe he survived, but his he had the helmet on.
He had it on.
Okay.
Yeah, he had it on. Well, there you go.
Poor Gallia.
So I got a thought to throw out to you guys. I did see something somewhere, and I'm not going to take 100% credit for this, but Moff Gideon had a mustache.
Yeah, before. I was going to bring that up. I just saw that today. I just saw that today, like scrolling through stuff.
And he did not have a mustache in season 3 when he died. So
they forcefully shaved it.
Is that something or is it nothing?
Transferred to the jail.
it could be something, it could be nothing. Yeah, because he had it in season 1 or 1 and like 2 that, and then
David, did you even get what Kyle just said? Did you get that?
What,
he forcefully shaved it?
Oh, Jesus. No, I
wow. Didn't. See, that's what I like. I like that Kyle was like, yeah, let me throw in a little pun there. Yeah, he forcefully shaved it. Listen, this is my opinion.
That's amazing.
I'm going to say my opinion, and that's it. I mean, I love Giancarlo. I think he's a great actor. I think he's a lot of fun, especially when he's at cons or at Celebration. But I hope it wasn't a clone. I don't want Moff Gideon to come back in season four again. I think three seasons is enough. I'm ready for another bigger baddie that Mando has to go up against, or at least somebody else. It doesn't have to be bigger necessarily, but different. I think Giancarlo, like Matt said, is kind of, I wouldn't say capitalizing, but he's using his character and the amazing suit that they made for him and all these cool things about him to, you know, kind of enjoy the aspect of being in the limelight right now, and more power to him. But I honestly don't think it's a clone. I know the mustache theory is going around. And I know that because he's had his helmet on and weirder things have happened with Star Wars where, you know, people's come back alive or they never died or whatever. So it's definitely a possibility. I'll give that to you, David, or if you guys think, if all of you think the same way that maybe he could be back. I personally just don't hope he is, like, not because of the actor, not because of the character, but I'm just ready to move on. I want something new. I want something fresh. And if anything is going to move forward, if we're going to have a season four, maybe even a season five, I don't know if we'll have a season five, but if we do, I would like somebody different other than Moff Gideon to come back. I think cloning Palpatine was enough. I don't need another clone.
So I gotta agree with you because I told Kyle and David actually in separate conversations about my thoughts on this and what I compared it to. And I kind of view Moff Gideon as the Saruman.
Yeah, you got it right. Saruman. Yeah.
Saruman. And yeah. Then Thrawn is Sauron. So, like, it's, you know, Sauron. Lord of the Rings Star Wars comparison. So the end game, to me, I feel with the whole Mandoverse, now that we know it's definitely culminating in a movie that's gonna tie in Ahsoka, Mandalorian, and Skeleton Crew, is that there's going to be like a big bad. And I don't see Moff Gideon, obviously. I don't think anybody sees Moff Gideon as being that big bad, because obviously now we all know Thrawn is coming. So Moff
Gideon.
Yeah,
no, it's going to be Thrawn.
Yeah, Moff Gideon essentially is the Saruman that now could and should be gone. Or maybe he comes back in some. If he does come back, maybe it's in some like diminished capacity that's not like taking away or overshadowing Thrawn, because Thrawn is 100% like going to be the focus of this whole timeline, like 100% in my opinion. 100%.
Well, let me put you on the spot then, Matt. So you got Sauron, you got Saruman. Who the heck is Gandalf in this?
Either Ahsoka. Or Ezra or both.
Yeah, I mean, that's good, Kyle. Ahsoka the White, right?
I'm gonna say Ahsoka or Ezra, because at this point, or maybe Ezra and Sabine are.
I think it might be Ezra or Ahsoka, because we would think that. I mean, we don't think Ezra's dead. No one thought that.
He's
but
definitely not dead.
People thought maybe Ahsoka was. So.
Ahsoka's not dead. She has her own show.
No, not dead. I'm saying that, like. I'm referring to Gandalf, where people thought he was dead, but he's not.
Ezra is the Return of the King. We'll just say that.
So Ezra's Aragorn. Okay. All right. Well enough of the Lord of the Rings podcast.
Where does Jason Syndulla fit into all this? Come on, guys.
I don't know.
He's Frodo.
I don't know why you're so obsessed with Jason.
He's Frodo.
No, he's not a hobbit. Come on, no.
He's a hobbit. He's got some hairy feet.
Does that make Zeb an orc then? Is Zeb an orc?
Zeb could be. No, Zeb is a.
Zeb is one of the Ents. He's an Ent.
Oh my god.
He's an Ent. Oh.
The trees.
I was going for that.
The trees.
That one
the
that's
two
a
towers.
Bigger orc. I forgot what they were called. The one that was like a mix of an orc and a goblin. But anyway.
Oh my god. Yeah. And Chewie would be an Ent. Chewing
we've definitely devolved a bit in this conversation. I'm sure Kyle is loving it over there.
I think he is. Yeah, I think he's loving it.
I love Lord of the Rings, so I don't care.
All right.
Do you?
All right.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, in this case, Ahsoka, right? I'm really excited to see her come back. But, like, at the same time, I'm just kind of like, I don't know what's going on with all the weird. I know this isn't, we're not talking about Ahsoka right now, but we just touched on it. So what popped into my head was the whole world between worlds kind of stuff going on. And I'm like, where does that come in? Like the orange lightsabers, are these people from before the jet? Like what is going on? I think we could have a whole, we'll have a whole episode.
I was going to say, we'll have more than one episode on that, but we all know what they're doing. They're retconning the sequel trilogy, guys. Come on. We know that that's what they're doing.
Dave and John are definitely like, I mean, if you just look real closely, you know, if you listen real carefully, YouTubers.
There are no connections to the sequel trilogy at all.
YouTubers that are crying their eyes out right now because they thought they were correct, but I'm glad they weren't.
I love drinking their tears. I love drinking their tears in my coffee mug.
David gets drunk on sequel hater tears for sure.
I do. You know what? Because like, and Matt, you were sitting right next to me when Daisy Ridley walked out at Celebration. I freaking stood up. I was screaming. I didn't care what anybody said. I was so excited. Like I was.
Dude, we all.
I don't know.
We all did.
No, I know.
Everybody there was happy she was there. Everybody was happy she was there.
And that was the best thing. Like, have you seen any of those videos of those people who are like, oh yeah, and there were boos in the crowd and blah, blah, blah. Like I've actually for the first time commented on some of those videos. I'm like, I was in the room and no one was booing. I'm sorry.
No,
everyone was cheering. It was a great moment.
She got the biggest reception, I think, out of any actor at Celebration. I know. Pretty sure.
Except for maybe Lars. Lars got a pretty big.
That one was pretty good.
We all
freaked out when Lars. Remember when they showed us the first trailer for Ahsoka and we were like, is that the back of Lars's head? I think that's the back of Lars's head. It's gotta be Lars. And then, you know, 24 hours later we figured, you know, they showed us and it was fantastic.
It was the next day they showed us, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it was during the Ahsoka panel is when they showed, and then they had them come out. And I loved being there when, like, because the cast, I guess it was their first time seeing the trailer too, and they were so excited, and they were like, oh, it was just awesome. It was great. All right, so getting back on track with The Mandalorian, even though, you know, Ahsoka is part of the Mandalorian saga, but that is going to be other episodes at another time. What about, like, overall this episode? I mean, we talked a lot about the positives that we saw, and I mean, other than the Darksaber was really my only kind of gripe.
David, accept it.
No one's ever really gone, Dennis. It's Star Wars, okay?
It's not an it's a Darksaber.
Hey, but my favorite lightsaber got reforged and used again, so guess what? I think it can happen.
Okay, well, let's bounce off of that.
What if Grogu is the one that's going to rebuild the Darksaber and eventually wield it, maybe? Like, you know, it won't unite Mandalore anymore because I feel like Mandalore's pretty united at this point.
Anybody have any ideas with what's going to happen to the Darksaber? I don't think Grogu has anything to do with it, personally.
He can't reforge it?
He's not the armorer, no.
Well, Rey wasn't the armorer, and she reforged the Skywalker saber.
She used the texts from Luke.
Hang on. Where are we in the timeline? She will reforge the lightsaber because it hasn't happened yet. So, my head hurts now. Oh boy.
Anyway,
Do you guys have any thoughts on like the Darksaber?
I don't think it's done, but in terms of thoughts,
okay, good.
About what's going to happen to it. Honestly, I don't know, and I'm not sure I really want to try to speculate. It's one of those things
I don't want to get into crazy speculation either. Yeah. I'm happy that you said you don't think it's done, because I don't either. Like I'm holding my Hasbro one right now, and I don't want it to be gone. I want it back. I want the Darksaber back.
I'll disagree. I think it's done, and I think it's a story element, because the whole purpose of him crushing it, I think, was more than just that it's a cool lightsaber slash sword. I think it's because it's definitely showing more that the person who it's not the Darksaber itself, it's who wields it, and it's the person who the Mandalorians are going to follow at this point, whether that's Bo-Katan, whether that's Din, whether they're going to choose somebody else, I don't know. But I honestly think it's the story reason for why that was destroyed, and they can reforge it, or they can use maybe if there's a crystal in it for something else. But I personally just don't think it's going to come back, because I think they're trying to paint a bigger picture as to what's more important. Is it this sword and who's hanging on to it, whether it's Bo, whether it's Moff Gideon, whether it's Din, or is it the person who they respect and who's going to lead the rest of Mandalore? That's just my opinion.
No, that's fair. I really like the Darksaber.
Yeah, all it ever did was divide Mandalore, and for this, the sake of the story, it's better that it's gone.
Matt, what do you think?
I mean, I kind of told you, I think the Darksaber isn't 100% totally done, but I do respect what Dennis and Kyle say. I think that there's a lot of strong things in what they say, and in terms of storytelling.
Oh, definitely.
I think maybe it'll get incorporated in some way.
Well, yeah, no, yeah, why don't you start us off? I was going to say, like, is there anything like, I don't know, is there anything you didn't like in the episode? Like
the episode itself, unlike you, I didn't wake up early and watch it, so I avoided spoilers all day, and I did see some few comments where people felt there was something missing. Basically, you guys, like maybe some of you guys, said you thought something was missing, and so I went into it, like, not expecting a Luke Skywalker cameo, and we didn't obviously get something of that nature. And it actually kind of, for once, helped, like, waiting to see it and not, and knowing there wasn't going to be some crazy possible thing like that. Because in reality, when you see a series finale like this, can you top a Luke Skywalker cameo?
No.
From the previous season, you really can't. So like how do you do this? And so like it honestly made me appreciate this season finale more, because I wasn't expecting that. So there are two options kind of from that point. You either have a really good feel good ending, or you have a huge cliffhanger, like a scary, you know, like what. Like Grogu, you think Grogu's dead cliffhanger. So you've got maybe those two things. And we got obviously the happy version of that. And like I said earlier, it honestly like moved me, like the whole, you know, Din adopting Grogu, and like I liked it. I liked the linear, you know, once I knew there was no crazy thing that was happening, like I honestly enjoyed the episode. And I think it helped too being at Celebration 2 weeks before, knowing that they had announced the movie, so the movie is coming, mm-hmm. you know, 4 years from now, or however long from now it comes. So there's going to be this ultimate movie culmination that's going to culminate The Mandalorian, Ahsoka, Skeleton Crew, and whatever else they weave into this. And so this
Book
is
of
just,
Boba Fett.
And Book of Boba Fett. So this is just going to be a point in the story. You know, it's not a finale. You know, even though it's the season finale, it's not really a finale. It's really like a midpoint in the story. So you don't necessarily, like, if, you know, I think it's a great Jedi test in patience. You don't need something necessarily crazy, in my opinion, to culminate the season. You just need something quality and good. And I think, and I felt that in what the end of the episode gave me. I think I actually lucked out in waiting till the end of the day, because I saw it and I was like, man, this is actually pretty good. And I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I definitely enjoyed it also. Like I said, it just didn't have that, you know, big whatever. But again, upon further reflection and watching it a second time, I actually, when I got home from work last Wednesday, I watched episode 7 and then right into episode 8. The one we saw early at Celebration into the finale. And I thought the two flowed really well together and it made it a little more, I don't know, epic or whatever. But no, it was a very good finale. I thought it brought the whole coming back to Mandalore story. Like, you know, it tied up ends that they had during the season. And that's what a good season finale will do.
I also think it did a couple key things, and we actually guessed one of them from the beginning. I don't remember who all of us said this, but we said that the only way this season works if they retake Mandalore is if Bo-Katan is essentially the one who leads the Mandalorians to do it, and Din and Grogu mm-hmm. go off on their own.
And yeah, we and did. They said, and they did. I think we all agreed on that. Yeah. And that's exactly what they did.
So that works. And then also, I think the other one key thing was in that scene at the end when Grogu starts his apprenticeship and he touches the living waters and it flashes down to the Mythosaur.
Yeah.
So clearly, I think, you know, does Grogu touching the water actually touch the Mythosaur? I don't know. But I think it's a very interesting way for them to, like, kind of tease that. And we all know that, like, I told you guys this before. I think Grogu has a natural ability through the Force to bond with animals or beings mm-hmm. like Ezra. So like
a lot like Ezra.
So
yeah.
I think that's kind of teasing that. And I think that teases a lot into the Mandalorian or into Ahsoka with Ezra. And I have a lot more feelings on that, which I'm not going to touch into right now because that's going down a huge rabbit hole. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I definitely think I see the whole connection to the animals and stuff, and I feel like bringing Ezra back into it, like they're definitely gonna cross paths, and I don't know, like maybe Ezra will be the one that teaches Grogu more on the ways of the Force or something. I don't know. We've got so much coming; it's amazing. Like they always say, it's a great time to be a Star Wars fan.
The one last thing I'll say is, going into the sequel trilogy, you got to remember who is not visible there. A lot of these characters,
the Mandalorians.
Well, I mean, not the Mandalorians, but Grogu, Ahsoka, Ezra, Thrawn. Like, those characters are tied together heavily.
And so, Ahsoka has a Force Ghost voice at the end of Rise of Skywalker, so she gotta die somewhere.
Something is gonna happen in this timeline and in the movie, so we'll just leave it at that.
You know that the entire population of the world will riot if something happens to Grogu.
I'm not saying he's going to die. I'm just saying people have disappeared and people have gone into the unknown regions. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh yeah, there you go. They can get swallowed by a whale again. All right, that works. It worked the first time.
David, no one got swallowed by a whale. This isn't Jonah in the Bible. No one got swallowed by a whale. They got taken away by the Force-sensitive, light-speed whales, space whales. But no one got swallowed by them. You said that in the last episode, too, remember?
Yeah, they swallowed them.
They did not swallow them. What are you talking about?
Just like the Bible.
Oh, my gosh. Kyle, your thoughts.
Yeah, I think I said I would give this season overall a 7, but this episode an 8. I mean, 7 and 8 were filmed together. This episode literally just started off from the next cut of the ending of episode 7. And that flowed very well, similar to season 1 and how that was orchestrated. Like Matt said, it's kind of hard to top Luke Skywalker. You can't really compete with that, but the way they went about doing that this season with this finale was done well, I think, and that it kind of had a happy ending that it just made you feel good, I guess. But I feel like if this is the end for Gideon, again, that's a huge if, a lot was left unanswered. And I can't help but think that Rangers and the Republic getting canceled kind of made them had to rework the storyline with Mando, and I hate that.
Do you think that's where that bar scene came from? Like, because I kind of was thinking maybe that's the angle that that show was going to take. You know, like these kind of side missions for the New Republic and whatever, and now it seems like that's what Din and Din are going to be doing.
No, 100%. Din Squared will be just taking over the story of Rangers of the New Republic.
I like that, Din Squared. Yes, that is their new proper name.
You heard it here first, folks. So
yes, absolutely. We got to trademark that. Jabba Jabber, Din Squared.
So, I don't know, man. I feel like there's a lot left unanswered about Gideon and his motivation and where he fits into the Shadow Council. And I just wish we got into more of that history.
Yeah, me too. I wish they had shown Gideon a little bit more, like, earlier in the season.
I do hope we see more of the Shadow Council, like, in future episodes of whatever season. I think someone touched on this earlier. I think, you know, the episode lengths were pretty average. I mean, typical of what they've been through the first two seasons already, but like I think this last episode, or maybe even the last two episodes, could have stood to be longer than 30 some minutes. Because season finale, I would take an hour long episode as long as it was done right.
One of the luxuries they have, like, you know, back in the day on like ABC and, well, I guess still on ABC and stuff, but like, you know, like the WB and all them, like those shows had to be 42 minutes long because of commercials. Like your half hour comedies were only 21 minutes long. You know what I mean? Like, and sitcoms and all that stuff. Like you had that time crunch with these streaming shows. You know, they've said you have the luxury. You can have your episode times be whatever you want. And you don't want a lot of filler, and you don't want, you know, you want the episodes to be able to showcase the best parts of the show. But I mean, I think that's the nice part about having that, is that you can afford to have some of your episodes be longer.
Yeah. So I've watched Rings of Power, House of Dragon, Game of Thrones. Mm. Like, I mean, I've watched like a lot of the streaming shows that and Last of Us that have episodes that range over an hour. Like, I feel like they could have episodes that hit an hour that would be good. Granted,
right,
it has to be the right episode. It has to be written the right way. Not every episode has to be an hour long, but there could be certain ones that are longer than 30 some minutes, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think a lot of that came down to budget or pacing or what, because Dave has said multiple times this season that they wanted to keep a tighter ship with some of these episodes, but there was an entire sequence cut with the Fang fighters and the TIE interceptors fighting. You never would have known it if it weren't for just behind the scenes conversations with different actors and like Lego set leaks. But there was an entire sequence where the Fang fighters and the TIE interceptors were going at it.
Interesting.
And it was just cut.
And that's just a air sequence, right? Between,
yeah,
a dogfight. Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like that's something that's kind of rare to get deleted, because that could be something really strong, as opposed to like a really slow sequence with like actors that just doesn't really.
Right. Like a character motivating.
Yeah.
Thing.
I don't know. Sometimes the decisions just leave you kind of dumbfounded, but again, it's, you don't know what it's like to be in the editing room working on these things. And I mean, every second you spend compositing a shot and working with VFX artists costs thousands of dollars. So
I had a few thoughts.
That's very true.
That's very true.
Yeah, with regards to that, just kind of bouncing off of that, and then I got a couple other things really shortly, or really quickly is what I mean. But I think a lot of the time when it comes to why they cut it down is it's not because we don't want to see more, because we obviously always want to see more. I think it's because, like Kyle said, budget constraints may be one of the issues. The other issue is that keeping the attention of an audience that is tuned into Disney Plus shows, I'm not talking about Last of Us or House of the Dragon, where a lot of these shows are very drama heavy. I think when people watch things like The Mandalorian, or even when they watch Star Wars, not films, but shows, they are expecting a resolution at the end of the episode, or at the very least at the end of the season. And I think that's also maybe a reflection of how Saturday morning serials were, you know, the shows that George Lucas grew up upon, and even with Dave and Favreau, you know, where they were kind of trying to also emulate that. This is what George wanted, is to have these shorter shows that actually showcase the story, and maybe in a whole season you have a bigger picture. And kind of bouncing off of that, I'm kind of also wondering, like, what happened to Pershing, to Dr. Pershing? Did he die, or did he just get his memory wiped? Like, did they just wipe him out entirely because they didn't want him to be able to pass along that information to Rendell Hux and Project Necromancer? Those are those open-ended stories that I think you guys have all touched on, that are especially Kyle and Matt, where we want to see some more things that haven't been filled in with some of the parts of the story that still need more, not exposition, but more explanation. And I really would like to see that. I'd like to also like to, I'm basically expecting that that's going to be filled in, not in a comic series or not supplemental material, but like, for example, when we got on that cliffhanger with who had Moff Gideon escape, who stopped that tribunal, that war tribunal, that shuttle, we know it was something to do with Beskar. So we're assuming, right, that it's probably those Beskar alloy super troopers that were down on Mandalore. But then it's like, then I'm inferring things, right? Or I initially thought maybe it was a different sect of Mandalorians that did it. I thought maybe even Axe Wolves as mercenaries, or they did it. And that's kind of where I'm kind of like, I don't know what happened there. So I would like to see that filled in the future, whether it's in the next season or not. And I did like the end of the show. Matt touched upon it, that it kind of just, it wrapped things up, but it made it a happy ending. You know, that little circle that they did at the end where they had just Grogu and Mando in it.
And the frog.
But that was like, that's never happened in these shows. And I did see something, and I can't take credit for it, but I did see that the only time we've actually seen that is at the end of A New Hope, when they do that, it doesn't stop in the circle. It kind of completes the circle and it goes to black and then credits, where, you know, they have the ceremony on Yavin. That's really like, maybe they did that on purpose and maybe as an homage to that. Not really sure, but I thought that was kind of interesting. And it almost felt to me like almost like a Looney Tunes kind of thing, you know, like, let me just zoom in here on the important people and then we end the show. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I just thought it was like, wow, that's never happened before.
It was definitely unique.
Yeah. Yeah. So overall, I liked the episode. I liked when it ended. And I think it played it safe. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that nobody really died except for Paz Vizsla the episode before. So no Bo-Katan dying, no, you know, nothing. Obviously nothing's going to happen to Mando or Grogu, because like David said, people would riot. But in one of these situations, like, people were thinking, what's going to happen? Is somebody going to sacrifice themselves? Even Axe Wolves, people thought, is he going to do it? No, he flies out the window, right? So I think they played it safe, and that's good for viewership, because people, you know, don't want to end the note on something that's going to make them sad usually.
Well, yeah, especially if we have a year or so to wait in between these 8-episode seasons, you know, like,
right.
If the audience reacts badly to it, it's, you know, they're not going to come back for the next season. So,
and one last thing, Din Squared, right? That's our thing, because Kyle brought it up.
Yep.
I have a question for that you guys. These details like are not really important for me, but I just kind of want to throw it out there. I'm really wading in the weeds here. Okay, if it's Din Djarin, and now it's Din Grogu. Okay, so Din isn't his first name, right? So if Din isn't Din Djarin's first name, are we supposed to refer to Bo-Katan as Catan is her first name? Is Paz Vizsla Vizsla his first? Like, I'm a little confused on the semantics here.
No, I think because it's
just Ben's tribe that does that.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I mean, because it's Bo-Katan Kreese, like, right. Clan Kreese, you know, like...
Okay.
Clan Vizsla.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is Clan Din.
I mean, I'm glad it's Din Grogu instead of Grogu Jarn, because, man, would that be a tongue twister if you're saying that too often.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they probably all based it on which sounded better. Din Grogu sounds way better.
Right, yeah, and don't forget, it's Sir Din Grogu.
Oh, that's right, because of...
He's a knight.
Yeah, because of the
knight. He is a knight. And he will one day be a knight, a Jedi knight of the new Jedi Order, but
headed by Rey.
So I got headed by Rey, but that is a story for another day.
I got to add one thing too that Dennis reminded me of, and that is, in terms of, we've got to keep watching and keep paying attention and keep commenting, liking, analyzing everything, because as Rosario said at Celebration when we were there, that Ahsoka season one is on the way, and if we want Ahsoka season two, we all need to show it love. So they are paying attention. Like, if you like a season of something, whatever show it is, they are paying attention. Like, people, you know, some people think they do, some people think they don't, but like, they pay attention to what you like. So, like, if we like Ahsoka, we need to watch Ahsoka. If we like Mando, we need to watch it. Like, we need to give these shows some love. We can analyze them and critique them all we want, but we need to watch them.
Yeah, you know, and we do enjoy them, regardless of how much we critique them or how much we think things we would have changed differently. Those are just opinions, and there's just something that we're sharing, but we enjoy watching it, and we enjoy some things more than the other shows. So I know some people like, you know, some people don't like Book of Boba Fett as much as like Mandalorian, and that's completely fine, and everybody has the right to have those opinions to share. But like Matt said, we want to get that viewership up there to show that, yeah, there are a lot of people interested in these shows. We want more seasons. We don't just want one and done.
And we're gonna do our part by spreading our own little slice of positivity throughout the galaxy. And that's going to do it for our show tonight. We are out of time. Thank you very much for listening. Do you guys have any last thoughts before we say goodbye? Some parting shots, if you will?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and just remind people to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You guys can always message us there, or you can send an email to jabberingjawas@gmail.com. We love to hear your thoughts on the show. We'd like to be able to get better at it. And if you want to come on sometime, we might be able to get you on as a guest. So let us know what you think. And give us some more feedback and see how we can make the show better for everyone.
It was great to get back with you guys. And this is the way.
This is the way. So coming up next, we have our May the 4th episode, which will be released on our High Holy Day, May the 4th. And then we'll have our Celebration recap episode for you guys coming up in the middle of May. We're going to be coming at you bi-weekly for the next couple of months. We might go back to our weekly format once Ahsoka hits. You think we pushed The Mandalorian? Well, we're really going to push Ahsoka, because we all know that that's one of our favorite characters. But anyway, that's going to do it for tonight. For Matt the Radar Technician, Kynobi, Dennis the Phantom Menace, I am your Supreme Leader, David Wren. Thank you very much for listening, and may the Force be with you always.